following is a recording for Rafael Borja from iAdvise on Wednesday, July 22nd, 2015, at 11 a.m. Central. It says second quarter 2015. Good afternoon, and welcome to Yixa's second quarter 2015 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Josh, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Yixa Earnings Call. While this conference call is to review the results for the second quarter, it is actually the first call of this kind conducted by the company. As such, this afternoon, we are very pleased to welcome Yixa's senior management team, who will begin discussing the company's second quarter 2015 consolidated results that the press release distributed yesterday. If you wish to be included in future distributions, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. We would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. If you are a member of the media and wish to direct any questions to the company, please contact us at 212-406-3691 so that we may assist you. Prior to introducing our esteemed speakers, I just want to mention that during this call, comments made by management may include forward-looking statements, which are subject to various conditions and uncertainties based on a variety of factors. Therefore, forward-looking statements may differ materially from actual results. Thus, we ask that you refer to the disclaimer located in the earnings release prior to making any investment decision. At this point, I will introduce our speakers. We have Mr. Elias Cavavie Daniel, Chairman of the Board, Mr. Abraham Cavavie Daniel, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Diodoro Batalla Palacios, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Elias Cavavie will now begin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Rafael. Thank you, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is with great pleasure that I present to you today in this forum, and for me it's a very exciting and very fulfilling couple of months here at Yixa. I'm just going to go back for one moment to June 4th of this year, when we announced the successful completion of our IPO with our shares listing on the Mexican stock market. This was a global offering in where we placed 368.4 million shares at 70 pesos per share. Subsequently, a month later, on July 6th, we completed the stabilization period, thereby partially executing the over-allotment option. As a result, we placed an additional 20.2 million shares in the capital market. Considering this over-allotment, Yixa has placed a total of 388.7 million shares, raising approximately 6.6 billion pesos that we will invest in the growth of our company. Yixa, if you're not familiar with our story, is a 100% internally managed and fully integrated premier real estate company based in Mexico. This fully integrated model, as we call it, captures value throughout the business cycle of the real estate development process and generates additional revenues with the provision of services to third parties. Additionally, our C-Corp structure and business model are aimed at eliminating fee leakage, which in turn maximizes shareholder returns, one of our main business goals. In several of our discussions and presentations, we also mentioned three growth pillars. Let me briefly review this. The first is our stabilized properties. These are the properties that are already in operation and generate a consistent revenue stream from the company. Yixa's current portfolio consists of 13 stabilized properties and represents a total gross leasable area of 617,000 square meters. Yixa participates with 62%. The second is the 14 development projects we have underway, which provide the foundation for growth and have the potential to add a gross leasing area of 820,000 square meters in the next 4 years, of which Higsa participates with 79%. And third, are the four service companies we have that offer full real estate services as a third party to major clients. The goal of this area is to provide high quality services in a manner that is efficient and profitable. Higsa participates there with 100%. Before I move on, I would like to discuss some main events for the period. We signed an agreement to consolidate ownership of Las Plazas Outlet Lerma, which is the first outlet mall in Mexico and the largest in Latin America, with a stake of 62.5% formerly, and we bought 37.5% for approximately 490 million pesos. This represents an additional annual NOI of 47 million pesos effective this year. In June, we signed a binding agreement with Fibra Hotel, subject to obtaining permits and licenses, among other conditions, for the sale of the space that will be used to build hotels in some of our properties, including Paseo Querétaro, La Isla Acapulco, and Forum Buenavista, all shopping centers. The investment and development of the hotels will be developed by Fibra Hotel and will allow us strengthen growth in the premium mixed-use segment. It is important to highlight that these projects are, among others, Cuernavaca and in the relevant event sections of the press release, we go into detail regarding other important news items for the quarter, but I just want to mention these two strategic guys. In summary, I wish to reiterate the fact that Higsa's integrated model is a key value driver that sets us apart from other companies in the sector. We are committed to continue striving on the execution of the company's unique business model, while at the same time remaining focused on maximizing profitability in order to create shareholder value. For now, that concludes my comments at this time, and I will turn the call over to Abraham Cavalli, Higsa's Chief Executive Officer, who will further discuss our strategy and review some of the highlights for the second quarter. Abraham, please go ahead.
Thank you, Elias, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for your interest in our company. As Elias mentioned, at Higsa we have well-defined business objectives and a specific growth strategy aimed at making us a premier Mexican real estate player in the segment. As such, the focus in generate shareholder value. Elias mentioned some of our activities. I will now review the main operational and financial highlights of the second quarter. In terms of occupancy, our stabilization property reached an occupancy rate of 90.7%, an increase of 140 basis points compared to the second quarter of last year. The average leasing rate per square meter at the end of the second quarter 15 was 295 pesos, a 9.3% increase compared to the second quarter of last year. Consolidated EBITDA in the first half of 2015 reached 1.230 billion pesos, while Higsa's proportional EBITDA was 790 million pesos. The EBITDA margin at the close of this second quarter had reached 76%. Regarding the proceeds from the initial public offering, as we anticipate during the global offering, we made payments for liabilities between related parties for 1.2 billion pesos, and we prepared the loan of Mazarik 111 for approximately 800 million pesos. In addition, expenses from the IPO reached approximately 380 million pesos, and we initiate the investment in our development pipeline for approximately 500 million pesos. We are moving on the progress of our projects under development, the construction project of La Isla Vallarta, Paseo Interlomas Extension, and Paseo Cuernavaca. These three are currently underway. Additionally, the formalization and land payments proceeds continue underway in the locations where Paseo Metepec and La Isla Mérida are located. With the construction of Paseo Metepec project also underway. In terms of other projects under development, we are moving ahead with all activities for the formalization of the land according to our that is obtaining permits, license, and other requirements in order to be able to begin construction. We will continue analyzing investment opportunities throughout Mexico, including potential acquisition developments, the consolidation of existing projects, as well as opportunities for third-party services. I would like to reiterate that our ongoing plans and projects provide for CICSA a solid foundation of which to continue the expansion of our business profitably in a manner that is a sustainable way, and it reflects the very exciting time that the company is experiencing right now. We are confident that we are on track toward continued growth. Well, thank you all for your kind attention, and now Diodoro Batalla, our CFO, will take over at this point to discuss the financial figures. Thank you.
Thank you, Abraham. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for your attention. I'm also very excited to conduct this call and to share with you CICSA's information. I would like to start my presentation with some comments on the format of our financial report for this quarter. During our IPO presentation, we presented pro forma financial information in order to reflect the corporate restructuring that we were concluding, which mainly included the following. First, the integration of Desarrolladora 2020 and its subsidiaries, Luce, Chacmol, and Mobilia, to incorporate them into CICSA's services business. Also, certain transfers of stock, retained earnings, investment properties, fixed assets, and some accounts receivable and payable, including some transactions with related parties, through the sale of assets, divestiture, and the sale of various subsidiaries. Primarily, residential inventory to eliminate business segment from CICSA. Fibra Unos, 117 million CDFI owned by our shareholders, and some corporate bank loans not allocated to specific projects. As this process concluded on April 8, 2015, these changes are now reflected in the company's consolidated financial results for this quarter. However, for comparative purposes, we are presenting 2014 pro forma statement, income statement, and balance sheet as if the corporate restructuring has been completed during that period. Now, let's move to the financial performance. Total revenues for these first 6 months of 2015 reached 2.2 billion pesos, an increase of 50% compared to the same period last year. This is mainly explained by the recognition of key money revenues in Forum Buenavista and Paseo Interlomas projects, the increase of recovery of construction costs performed for third parties, and the delivery of office spaces sold in capital reform. Total costs and expenses during these 6 months also increased by 71%, reaching 1.2 billion pesos, mainly also the construction costs performed for third parties. Operating profit increased 103.2%, reaching 2.9 billion pesos at the end of these 6 months, mainly due to positive effects on fair value of investment property. Moving on to the balance sheet, cash and cash equivalents in June 30, 2015 were 3.7 billion pesos, significantly increased from the same period of 2014, mainly due to the proceeds obtained from our IPO. Due that the stabilization period concludes on July 6, the proceeds from over-allotment option will be reflected until next quarter. Our total financial debt reached 9.88 billion pesos, a decrease of 8.8% compared to the same period last year, mainly due to the prepayment of Mazarik loan. The proportional financial debt was 6.3 billion pesos, resulting in a loan-to-value ratio of 25.3%, considering a stock price of 16.23 pesos as of June 30, 2016. This concludes our presentation. Thank you for your attention. We are looking forward to all of your questions. So at this point, we can move to the Q&A session of the presentation. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And we now have our first question coming from Francisco Chavez from BBVA.
Hi, gentlemen, and thanks for the call, and congratulations for the strong results. I have a couple of questions. The first one is regarding two of your properties, Capital Reforma and La Isla Acapulco. We saw in second quarter that occupancy remained stable against first quarter of this year. When can we expect to see an increase in occupancy in these two properties? And what is your expectation for occupancy by year end?
Okay, hello, this is Abraham. The first part of your question, we will be looking, as we explained part of this on our roadshow, on both properties, heading on the last quarter of this year. That'll be between the next 3-4 months. Before the end of the year, we will be on the numbers that we expected on both properties. Also, in this quarter, we have signed some contracts, but they didn't get signed hard. We only like to say we've signed, but we have a hard contract, non-binding. That's it. And the second part of your question, sorry, I didn't get it.
Yes. Yeah. The second part is regarding the increase in Hixa stake in Outlet Lerma. Can you explain what was the rationale for this transaction, and also if you can give us an idea of the implicit cap rate in this transaction? Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I got it. The implicit cap rate is based on the figures of the coming numbers, that's 2016. We will be around 10%. And also, the rationale of doing this is because we are also looking a big opportunity of doing another expansion, and we do a bigger opportunity that are coming, the deals of the contract that we will be increasing above the inflation, because there are contracts that have like 5, 4, 6 years, and today Lerma is one of our hottest properties.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Marco Spinat from Neuberger Berman.
Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for the call, and congrats on the good results. Can you just give a little more color on the third-party service revenue that was up kind of more than I expected? I just want to get some specifics on what that was, to what extent that was kind of reimbursement on construction costs, what was kind of real growth to you, et cetera. You know, on the income statement, I think you grew, what was the number, 150-some-odd% or something.
Yeah, sure, Theodore, can you explain, please?
Yes, this is Diodoro Batalla. Marco, in our financial statement, the Chacmol company, that is the construction company, collects money from third parties and then go and spend it in the construction for them. So that is why we are having a bigger number in that area.
Can you? Is it possible on a pro forma basis to exclude that number so we can get a cleaner number on the actual growth in service revenues?
Yes, we in our report on page 21 we have an NOI and EBITDA reconciliation that is excluding that number, and we are in the process of discussing with the auditors if we can separate them in our financial statement so it can be cleaner.
Okay. I see. Okay, so I need to. Okay, so I guess I'll have to do this myself. I don't see it in the numbers here. I have to take a quick look at it.
No, I can go back with you and send you the clean number.
Okay, very good. And then a second question I had was just on the chart you have in the presentation on rent increases on page 10, a 15% rent per square meter increase. Is that, you know, that obviously is quite a bit above inflation. What's going on there in terms of mix, and how much is explained by contract renewals, and how much by a shift in mix, and what might be another factor that explains such a high increase in rent per square meter?
Yes. This increase of 10% is mainly explained by the renewal of contracts. We had a lot of space renewal in Narcos Bosques with a higher rent, and also in Forum Buenavista.
Okay.
This is Abraham. This effect that is also similar of my answer of the first question. Some of you guys will remember that we talk about it in the roadshow, and now it's starting a good reflection, the positive way, because like in Lerma, in Buenavista, and a lot of the properties in Arcos, we are heading to see contracts due on low prices for the new moments that we are facing, higher rents. So that would be even, I think, much better every quarter and every year.
Okay, so you expect to sustain that kind of increase, or maybe certainly double-digit increase, over the next couple of years?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touchtone phone signal. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Nikolai Lipman from Morgan Stanley.
Hi, gentlemen. Congratulations on your capital raising and the strong results. Two questions, if I may. First, can you comment on just how you're doing in terms of capital deployment and what we should expect from here to year end? And then the second question relates to accounts receivable. There's a big increase. I don't know. I'm sorry if I missed that in your initial comments, but can you comment a bit on what's going on there? Thanks.
Yes, Nikolai, I didn't get your first question. Can you repeat, please?
The second question was on if you could comment a bit on what's going on in accounts receivable. And the first question was if you could give a sense of just the capital deployment from here till year end. And I guess, you know, follow up on that, if you can comment on whether we should expect any additional ownership changes or asset swaps within the stabilized portfolio? So all in all, three questions. Thanks.
Okay. Regarding the accounts receivable, we have a an increase in that number because, as you remember, when we did the IPO, we sold participation. We bought participation from our minority partner in Buena Vista, and we needed to have the waiver from the bank in order to be able to complete the transaction. So we have that waiver until July, the first days of July. So what we have to do in order to capitalize is that we have to put that as a loan to the partner so he can capitalize. And then right now that we have the waiver from the bank, we in the next quarter we are going to eliminate that and to put it into the in the capital.
Thanks.
Okay, and regarding our capital requirement for the end of the year, as we told in our roadshows, we are in the need of for our pipeline. With the IPO, we covered our 40% of capital, and for the pipeline, and we need the other 40% of debt. That we are now in the process of defining the best strategy to get it.
Got it. Okay, thank you. And should we expect any sort of additional changes to the stabilized ownership stakes and the stabilized portfolio over the course of the next, from here to the end?
No, we are not expecting any changes in ownership.
Got it. Thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Pablo Duarte from Actinver.
Hi, guys. Thank you for the call and congratulations on the strong results. I just have a couple of questions regarding key money. I was positively surprised by the recognition in the second quarter from Forum Buenavista, Tlaquepaque, Paseo Interlomas project, which you mentioned in the report that against the first half of 2014, the increase in revenues from rents and key money of 25% was mostly driven by these key monies. Given that these are stabilized projects with, average occupancies above 90%, how is doing Hixa in order to reach these revenues? Is the company collecting key monies from recycling GLA, or what can explain this strong figure?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, exactly that. Also, we talk about it a lot of these in our presentation, and this is for real, a day-to-day, that two things. If one of our tenants wants to move out, everything goes through us, and even if he gets money from the third one, the new one coming in that we first authorize him because of his brand name and, of course, financially, they have to pay us a key money for recycling their contract. And also, Forum Buena Vista and Tlaquepaque, that amount of vacancy that we have on our numbers when we show them, all of them were on the proceeding of signing new contracts. So yes, this we will be looking at it. Key money is constantly on the pipeline and on the recycling. Of course, it's going to be bigger always on the number on the pipeline, but also on the stabilized project, we have the opportunity to collect key money.
Okay, perfect, very clear.
Thank you.
Thank you. We now have a follow-up question coming from Marco Spinar from Neuberger Berman.
Can you guys just remind us in terms of the guidance for the year? You mentioned it, you alluded to it just briefly in your presentation, and I can't recall what it was from the IPO. What was the guidance?
Diodoro.
Excuse me, this is Diodoro. Marco, I didn't get your question. The guidance of what, sorry?
Well, I can't recall if you gave guidance for 2015 in terms of EBITDA or NOI. You mentioned in your report that you're on track to achieve your guidance, but to be honest, I can't recall what your guidance was, and I couldn't find it in my notes. So can you remind us of your NOI or EBITDA guidance for the year?
Yes. EBITDA. In our guidance, we were pointing for 2015 for a 1.6
billion pesos. EBITDA or NOI?
EBITDA. EBITDA.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phones now. Again, that is star one to ask a question. Thank you. At this time, we're showing no further questions. I'd now like to turn the call over to Elias Cavalier for closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your interest in GICSA and participating in our conference call. We look forward to getting to know each of you and hope to meet you in person in the near future. In the event that you have additional questions or have any additional need for information, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you again and have a good day.